the end of this edition. I'm Samson Seas. Sees you soon.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: شتان ما بين عملين، عمل تذهب لذته وتبقى تبعته، وعمل تذهب مؤونته ويبقى أجره.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "What a difference there is between two kinds of actions. An act whose pleasure passes away, but its ill consequence remains, and the act whose hardship passes away, but its reward stays."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs To My Brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Well, dear friends, we are, of course, talking about the beautiful persona, the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Of course, when we look at the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we find that it is a persona which has transcended time and place and era. And even we can say that it has transcended language and even national and ethnical backgrounds. For all people of the world, no matter what language they speak, no matter where they are from, no matter what ethnic background they are related to, they seem to know Imam Ali alayhi salam, and they seem to know about Imam Ali alayhi salam in one way or the other, especially amongst the Muslims. Now, this persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam being so transcendent and being able to surpass time and history and age is, of course, because of the fact that the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam was primarily formed by the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, and the teachings of Islam and Quran, which again were given to Imam Ali alayhi salam and taught to Imam Ali alayhi salam by the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. Now, despite the fact that Imam Ali, of course, was such a favorite and special to the Messenger of Allah, we find that the people of his era did not give him due credit. They did not give him the weightage and the importance that should have been given to him. In this regards, we find that in order to bring the people towards the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has many different quotes and many different traditions and many different sayings in which he is emphasizing the love for Imam Ali, the obedience to Imam Ali, and the fact that Imam Ali alayhi salam is the rightful successor to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So Ibn Abbas has an interesting quote where he narrates from the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, where the Messenger of Allah said that Allah would have never created hell if all people had had the love for Ali. Now, of course, sometimes when we see these kind of traditions, we seem to be a little bit surprised. Of course, it makes sense to be a little bit surprised, but once you understand a little bit of the context of what's going on, then the tradition does not seem to be that shocking. Now, here again, the Messenger of Allah is saying that Allah himself has said that he would never have created hell if all the people had had the love for Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, of course, if one has the love for Imam Ali alayhi salam, then this means that that individual will eventually, in turn, follow the commandments and the steps, the footsteps, if you will, of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And it is this following of the footsteps of Imam Ali, following the commandments of Imam Ali, and following the persona and the behaviors and the manners of Imam Ali alayhi salam. When you follow all of these, you are in reality following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And of course, when you are following the Messenger, then you are following the pure and original teachings of Islam, and you are following the correct understanding of the Holy Quran, and thus you are satisfying the Almighty Allah. Now, when you're doing all of these things, then of course the likelihood of one going to paradise is greatly, greatly increased. But on the other hand, if you have hatred for Imam Ali, if you do not have the love for Imam Ali alayhi salam, then of course not only will you not follow his footsteps and his commandments and his seerah and sunnah, but matter of fact, you will try to do the opposite of his seerah and sunnah. And if you do the opposite of the seerah and the sunnah and the manners and the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, then you are going contrary to the persona of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and that means that you are going against the pure teachings of Islam, and you are going against the correct understanding of the Holy Quran, which of course in return will lead to the dissatisfaction of the Almighty Allah, and most probably the wrath of the Almighty Allah. And whoever incurs the wrath of the Almighty Allah, their place is none other than hell. And therefore, now it makes complete sense that God and the Almighty Allah would have never created hell if all the people had had the love for Imam Ali alayhi salam, truly showing us the incredible value of understanding and following the universal persona of the divinely appointed Imam. A very beautiful and thought-provoking lesson brought to us by the universal persona of none other than Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
كل صبح وكل اشراق ايام تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاق ايام قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
The word Mawla has the same meaning and implication as Awla, the question that he raised first. And so Ali is also Awla over the Mu'mineen, has more authority over the Mu'mineen than themselves. And so the context is actually very clear about it, and so we don't have to really go into details here and there. But now that I talked about this importance of the name of Ali, Ali means somebody who is high and raised. Let me talk about another name of Ali, one of the elders that I had asked me in Ramadan, actually. And I promised him that I'll talk about it in the Majlis so everybody can know. The other famous name of Ali is Haydar. What does Haydar mean? In history, there is slight different variations in the narration. The name Ali was given to Ali by Hazrat Abu Talib. But then the mother had also given a name. And she gave two names to him. Number one was Asad. Asad is actually the grandfather on mother's side of Ali. And Asad means lion. There is another name also given by the mother to Ali, and that is Haydar. And the word Haydar also means a lion. So Asad and Haydar has exactly the same meaning. And Amir al-Mu'minin used to actually take, pride in this name that his mother had given to him. Especially if you look at the Battle of Khaybar. This is the Jewish, castle or the fortress. Where the people actually who had been, they were part of the city of Medina, and there was an agreement between the Prophet and them that they will basically be part of securing the city whenever there is an attack from outside. But they actually betrayed that trust, and they became the enemies from within. And so they were expelled from Medina. Later on, they conspired with the Mushrikeen of Mecca in the Battle of Khandaq. They actually came all the way to Medina to fight the Prophet and the Muslims. So after dealing with the Mushrikeen of Mecca, the Prophet decided it's time to really pay a visit to these people because they are not letting go their mischief against us. And so, the Muslim army went to Khaybar. Many people were given the command. They went there and came back without any success. It was the month of Rajab. Eventually, the Prophet asked, he said, tomorrow I'm going to give the standard, the alam, to somebody. And this description is very important. Our Zakirin only talk about Rajulan Karrar, that I'm going to give the alam to a man. And Karrar, somebody who is steadfast, doesn't move away. But then I think there was a greater description there where the Prophet says, not only Rajulan Karrar, somebody who loves Allah and the Rasul, and whom Allah and Rasul also love. Where he says, I'm going to give the alam to somebody who is Rajulan Karrar, يحب الله ورسوله.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/EN Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear ladies, this is your program. We are in here. That is Muslim Lady. Welcome to a new episode. I am Asma, and in here I have Sister Zainab, as always. We're going to have her to help us with the description that she's going to give us. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome to today's episode.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And thank you for being here. Previously on Muslim Lady, we've been talking about visiting the relatives and how important it is to do this task because we have been so much recommended on doing it in our Islamic heritage. And all of our imams and all the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam have been doing that and recommending us to do that because it is going to have so much of blessings for us, and not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And it's going to count as an important rule in our religion. So we talked about the people who hate socializing, and we actually gave them quite some advices to follow in order to have this socializing with the family. And then we actually have been through too much. But right now, we are going to talk about what are our responsibilities toward the relatives when they are gone, when they no longer live in this world. So, Sister Zainab, what are our responsibilities toward these relatives when they are gone?
See, when they are gone, basically, you realize really how important it was to visit them.
Yeah. That's the point with every single thing. After you lose them, everything becomes so important.
I wish I did this before. One of the hadiths from Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says that just visit your relatives. Just do sila rahim with your relatives. Just visit them, even if it's just salam.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're just, you know, sometimes some relatives live very near together. And if it's just saying salam, it's okay. I remember we have the relatives living very near to us, and he's suffering from cancer even. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. I don't know from where, it just, you know, kind of came to my mind. And I had a kind of intuition, he's not feeling well. And I started making soup without informing anyone. And then told my husband to take this soup for them. And then at the very moment, we realized that he had not been able to eat anything for a couple of days, and all the soups they had been making were not working with him, but the soup that I had made worked for him.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can be really a source of what I said, be a savior or be something. Sometimes, for example, I don't know, visit the relative directly. I sent my husband with something that I could have.
There are different ways and different means.
I could have
afforded.
Yeah. So Imam Ali Islam is saying just salam. So, you know, you said after death. After death, we really realize, I wish I could have done this for the particular person. I wish I could have done that for the particular person. Or I wish I had at least visited.
And regret comes in the middle.
You know, all those regrets of visiting relatives come into your mind. But however, when it comes back to Lady Fatima Zahra Salam Alayha, she had a very great connection with her relatives. Mm-hmm. She never forgot them even when they were gone. And she teaches us how we can maintain our relationships with those who are gone. The one who is gone is not just gone. He has just transferred from one world to another world. We have a very beautiful word in Urdu for someone who passes away. We don't say someone is dead or someone just passed away or something like that. We just say intikal. We use the word intikal in Urdu, which also has a good meaning in Persian. Intikal is also a word in Persian, which means transfer.
Yeah.
So we actually want to say that the person is not gone all the way. He is just...
They have just been transferred into another world.
Exactly. So we wouldn't use the word transfer for death. We don't use any other word.
It's more precise, actually.
Exactly. So she had a much great faith in it, and she maintained that relation through visiting cemeteries, praying on their graves, reciting a Quran for them. And today we have so many beautiful apps. I just lost my loved one very recently, and I created one of the links on one of the apps wherein you can do the Khatme Quran, wherein you can do the, for your loved ones, for those who are gone. In the name of many of those who are gone, you know, you can recite Quran. So I shared the link with many of my relatives who could have actually picking up half of the Jews and just recited it. And that's one of the services you could do to those who are gone. And especially the families.
So let's just skip this family point for after the break. And I would love us, everyone, to go for a sip of water, and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear ladies. We are talking about the social aspects of the lifestyle of Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha. We talked about how to treat our relatives, and that was what Sister Zainab was going. I guess you wanted to mention something else about this family stuff.
Actually, when relatives are there, she took extreme care. And when relatives were gone, she would actually take care of many things. She would actually, first of all, take part in the funeral.
Yeah.
Recite the prayers, which is highly recommended in Islam.
Yeah.
Show emotional attachment to it.
And, you know, it would be very much important for the family of that dead person. They would care for every single person who shares sympathy with them.
I remember one of the funerals I attended of one of my colleagues. He had lost his mother and brother at the same time.
Oh my God.
And that was a big shock. And his brother was younger.
Yeah.
So we as a staff went there and attended the funeral. And his sister was crying so much. She was just putting the mud of the grave over her
shoulder. She has every right to,
I understand. You know, I just went into the crowd, put my hand on her shoulders. And when she saw, how is this? I told her, you don't know me, but I want to hug you. Yeah. When I hugged her, so you can just give a hug, you can give sympathy, you can console that person one or the other way.
Just be a shoulder.
Exactly.
And this is the main point of attending those funerals, in order to be the shoulder for the people who have lost their dear one. We understand that a person who has lost a dear one is going to go through too much, specifically since we're talking about Muslim ladies, and ladies have a delicate heart.
See, I couldn't, as a Muslim lady, I couldn't go and console my staff member, my colleague, you know. I went to console his sister, at least.
Of course, yes.
At least his sister, you know.
And showing sympathy with the sister, which has actually worked so well because she has told, she relieved me with that hug.
Prophet, peace be upon him, recommended that those who have lost a dear one, at least for 3 days, get them food.
Yeah.
So she would do that. She was the first person who would do that. She lost her brother-in-law. He was a martyr. And she shed so many tears. And she actually they had all that emotional attachment because, you know, when you have a brother-in-law, you treat that brother-in-law as your own brother.
Exactly.
And when you have sister, you treat them as your own brothers and sisters. That's what happens with every married woman.
So there is a family bond.
Yeah, there's a very good, very strong family bond even gets developed after this marriage. And since she was a direct student of prophetic family.
So again, providing them with food means sharing that sympathy, knowing about their needs and being there for them.
You know, when you lose someone very dear to you, someone very close to you, who is in the senses of cooking and feeding your children
and yourself
and all?
They would forget about themselves.
It's recommended at least for 3 days this person is in grief. You as a neighbor, go and give them. You as a relative, go and provide for them. So if you as a relative are far away, it's the duty of neighbors.
Exactly.
And since then, it's been carried out. Even in our country, India, we have this. Like in the Kashmir, we have this system of like, if someone passes away, they don't turn on the gas stoves for at least 3 days themselves. But the relatives or neighbors say that.
Now, speaking of culture, I would say that in our culture, we have it that for 40 days, we don't leave those family, you know. Every week, at least, you have to go and visit them. If you can do, if you're in the same city, you can go there and do it every night. You know, sit with them, talk to them, make them relief, feel
the sympathy. Or at least
just cycle
on rather than talking.
Exactly,
because when women get together and start talking... That sometimes ends up into something.
No, you know what? When somebody is lost, and then the person who has lost the dear one, and they start talking to you, it feels as if they are just giving the burden from their shoulder out to another person.
It feels like
they are feeling empty.
Yeah, what I have seen, realized, observed, is that when women... I'm not talking about the one who has lost someone. For example, the one who has lost someone is there, and the neighbors out there, they meet each other and they start talking.
I totally
get rather than
say, yes.
coming and consoling this person who has a great grief right now. Rather than coming to this grieved person, giving him condolences, and then talking to
him. And they start talking about
the
stuff that are unnecessary. So before we go further, let's go for a short break, and then it would be the final part of today's episode. Dear ladies, this is the final part of Muslim Lady for today's episode. Sister, is there anything still left for us to talk about?
Well, the same thing. Like, you know, when we are taking part in the funerals, we're just condoling the other families. We have to take care of, at the very same time, we have to take care of this thing that get engaged with the grieved family itself. Not with the neighbors, not with the relatives. At least show your sympathy, show your humanity. If not sympathy, at least your humanity.
Exactly.
Because that's something that shows up here. I was saying that she would shed tears, and she would say so much tears, Prophet, peace be upon him, would get tears into his eyes. So, and then he would wipe her tears with his own clothes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all
very kind.
The emotional bonds, the attachment shows us everything.
So and still, all of these things that we have been recommended to do with our relatives is just to keep the connection and the bond stronger and deeper. When somebody is lost from the relatives and you go to their family, you feel that the connection is going to get deeper and deeper. And the family that has lost a dear one, they wouldn't feel they are alone. And exactly. I guess this is the main idea.
Exactly. And not just those who are living. Those, the one who has just left, or the one who the relatives, those were gone, she would often visit the cemeteries. She would often visit their graves. She would often recite Quran over there. She would often ask Allah forgiveness of their relatives. If she would find out that the graves are in need of repairment, she'd go for it.
Yeah,
she'd do it. So this is very important. Like if someone has left, it someone leaves this world, it should not be 1, 2, 3, 4 and over, or
exactly.
like 1 to 40 and over. You just forget about them. No. Or you just remind them on Thursday, send a Surah Fatiha, and that's it. Just visit their graves. Just see if there's some kind of repairment is needed.
Mm-hmm. We have also so much of recommendations on going to the cemeteries and visit the dead ones.
Exactly. You remember, that's what's called as ibrat for us.
Yeah.
Which has been called as lessons for us. If someone leaves this world, it's a lesson for us.
Yeah. We also have this quote that there are lessons in the cemeteries. So when you go there, you just feel like you have too much of new things that you have learned. Even though you do not know anyone in there. But then the view, the sight of that cemetery is going to give you so much of feelings and insight, I guess.
You know, Surah Takasur says you see so many graves, the number of graves, and you just still don't remember. So yeah. Everyone who has come has to be going. And visiting cemeteries reminds us of our death, and it actually revives our soul.
Exactly. So, sister, I would love to talk more, but the time is running so fast. And this was all that we had for today's episode. Until another session and episode, I will bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something. Something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Since the beginning of Russia's special operation in Ukraine a year ago, Western countries, particularly United States of America and Britain, have prolonged the war in Ukraine with their military support for Kiev. We have taken a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. Russia's Itatas news agency has covered this story and tells us more. Russian President Vladimir Putin said supplies of weapons to Ukraine by NATO bloc may be considered the participation in conflict, since the alliance received no payments for it, which means the West becomes a companion in Kiev's crimes. President Putin stated in an interview on Russia One television channel, aired on Sunday 26th of February, President Putin said, "They supply arms worth tens of billions of dollars to Ukraine. This is participation in the war. But why? Because it is not simply military technical cooperation, since they do not receive any money for it." He added that those arms are delivered unilaterally, which means in a way, at least indirectly, but still, it means participating in the war in Ukraine. Commenting on suspension of Russia's participation in the New START treaty, President Putin stated that Russia should take into account the nuclear potential of not only the United States, but all other NATO countries as well, as the alliance considers Moscow's strategic defeat as its key goal. He stressed, amid today's conditions, as all leading NATO countries have announced our strategic defeat as their key goal for making our people suffer, as they put it, how cannot we consider their nuclear potential amid this environment? The Russian president said the West has only one goal of liquidating the Russian Federation. He added, they have one goal of liquidating the former Soviet Union and its main part, the Russian Federation. President Putin stressed that the world should change, though Moscow is against building the new world in the interests of only one country, the United States. He said, regardless of the talk that Russia is the legal successor of the former Soviet Union, in the legal sense, it is true, though we are not speaking about legal sentences, but about the potential. Today's Russia has different potential. We understand it, and we agree that the world should change. President Putin added, Moscow is never against such changes, including in the United Nations, thinking about reforming the UN. But what are we against? Against building the new world order only in the interests of one country, that is, the United States. The Izvestia Daily has also covered this story and tells us more. Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has warned that the continued influx of Western weaponry into Ukraine amid the raging war will only prolong the war and may lead to a nuclear catastrophe. In his remarks published on Monday, 27th of February, Dmitry Medvedev, a key aide to President Vladimir Putin and deputy chairman of the Security Council of the Russian Federation, urged an immediate halt to Western military supplies to Kiev. The Russian official reiterated his threat of nuclear war over Ukraine if Western countries continue to arm Ukraine despite repeated warnings from Moscow. Dmitry Medvedev said, of course, the pumping of more weaponry can continue and prevent any possibility of reviving negotiations. Our enemies are doing just that, not wanting to understand that their goal was certainly will lead to a total fiasco, loss for everyone, a collapse, an apocalypse, where you forget for centuries about your former life until the rubble ceases to emit radiation. The latest comments by Dmitry Medvedev follow President Vladimir Putin's recent nuclear warning and his Sunday, 26th of February, remarks casting Moscow's confrontation with the West as an existential battle for the survival of the Russian state and the Russian people. Since Russia launched its military operation in Ukraine a year ago, the United States and its European allies have provided billions of dollars worth of military aid to Ukraine, despite repeated warnings from the Kremlin that such military aid will only prolong the war. U.S. President Joe Biden, in his speech on Tuesday, 21st of February, said the United States and its allies will not get tired of backing Ukraine, in a sign that the NATO military alliance is not willing to take a step backwards. The U.S. has been Ukraine's strongest military partner since the start of the war in February of last year, providing Kiev with more weaponry and equipment than all other countries put together. In a list released by the White House on 20th of February, Washington's total military assistance to Ukraine has reached about $29.8 billion since the start of the war. The Biden administration marked the first anniversary of Russia's military operation in Ukraine on 24th of February by announcing new military aid to Ukraine and sanctions against Russia. In an article published in the National Defense magazine recently, as quoted by Itatas news agency, Dmitry Medvedev said, Russia is again confronted with an empire of diverse enemies 80 years after the victory of the Battle of Stalingrad. He wrote, history repeats itself. We're again confronted, actually, with a whole empire of diverse enemies. Ukrainian and European neo-Nazis, the United States of America, other Anglo-Saxons and their minions. President Putin on Sunday accused the NATO military alliance of taking part in the Ukraine war by giving weaponry to Kiev, and hastened to add that the West plans to break up Russia.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, welcome to Mafatihul Hayat, Keys of Life. I am your host, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi. We said previously one of the keys of life is understanding the effects of food on our hearts and our intellects. Because the heart and the mind are two things we need in order for us to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have a spiritual connection with Him. When these two things die, I mean not literally, but let's say spiritually, then this relationship between us and Allah is cut. So we need to maintain the reception, if I can say, between us and Allah at all times. The signal has to be always strong. In this regard, the Ahl Bayt, they tell us about the effects of food on our hearts and our minds. Imam Ridha alayhi salam, he says, إِنَّ الْخَلَّ يَشُدُّ الذِّهْنِ. Vinegar firms the mind. وَيُزِيدُ فِي الْعَقْلِ, and it increases the intellect and the brain. And he also said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالسَّفَرْجَلِ فَإِنَّهُ يُزِيدُ فِي الْعَقْلِ. I recommend you to eat quince, فَإِنَّهُ يُزِيدُ فِي الْعَقْلِ, it will increase your mind. Imam Ridha alayhi salam, in these two hadiths, he talks about two different types of food. One is liquid and one is an actual fruit. So he says vinegar, consuming small amounts of vinegar or adding vinegar to your food or to your salad or to what have you. He said the vinegar itself, it has the properties to firm the mind. It becomes more firmer, it becomes more stronger, it becomes more, aware. Now, a lot of people may ask, what is the relationship between these foods that we consume and our minds? From a scientific perspective, some of these things have been proven that they have a link. Some of them, until now, science hasn't been able to tell us anything. But we don't need science as much as we need the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, because if they tell us these things, then obviously there is a link. Inshallah, maybe in the future, we will be able to know the link and the relationship between these foods and the activity of the brain and the mind. And then the Imam says, quince. Quince is that what we call safarjan Arabic, is that yellowish, strong, hard kind of fruit. And usually you'll find it around, you know, depends where you are. It could be, as you know, in winter, it's more mainly a winter fruit. And it is very recommended in the narrations that a person eats safarjal. Not only, the Imam says, it increases your intellect, but even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi says, and Ahl Bayt, they said, if a pregnant woman eats it, it makes the baby beautiful. It gives him good features if a woman consumes quince from time to time during her pregnancy. So these are two things that we also need to add to our meals in order to have a more healthier, more productive hearts and minds. So don't overlook the benefits of these fruits and these things, because now we live in the fast food era where we kind of stayed away from them. Maybe we should reconsider that. Let us take a short break and then we continue right after.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes.
یه جلدش هی مفاتیح الجنان است چه فرون نماز و ثواب داره فرون روزه هم است.
One volume, the present volume, مفاتیح الجنان, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc.
یه جلدش کم داره و اینه که فرون درختکاری اینجا کم ثواب داره. دعا هم داره، ثواب هم داره.
But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام اونطوری که اینو گفته بودم گفته دی اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری اون ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree.
محیط زیست نگه سالم نگه داره این دقل ثواب داره.
There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment.
وقتی میخوای کشاورزی کنی یه قدر گندم بگیر رو به قبله بیست این دعا رو بخون. این هم امام گفته دیگه.
When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned.
تو نظام اسلامی این جلد دوم جاش خالی.
We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Keys of Life, Mafatihul Hayat. Just before the break, we spoke about a few ahadiths from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam that they talk about the effects of foods and drinks on the brain. Now, just as a note, we should keep in mind that this is a general idea, like a general talk from the Imams alayhim as-salam. It not necessarily it should happen to everyone at all times. So when they talk about the foods that increases your intellect, it makes you more productive, it makes you more aware, these are true. But then there are other factors that we might do in our daily life that will prevent these things from working and happening. For example, a person's mental state, a person's environment, the other foods that a person consumes, right? So sometimes you might consume something that's beneficial, but at the same time you consume something that overrides it. So when we talk about these things, it is very important and very vital that we keep this in mind. Because a lot of people say, well, I have been eating this for so long and I don't see no benefits. I've been eating, for example, pumpkins. I've been eating safarjal. I've been consuming garlic. Or I've been eating, all these things that we read in the hadith. But I don't see any benefits. I don't see them taking effect. Then we say, well, surely there must be other factors that are into play or affecting this whole process that maybe we should look at. So we need to consider everything. So, for example, we do say that in order for you to burn a paper, you have to make sure that the paper, first and foremost, is dry. If it's wet, no matter how hard you try, fire will not take effect on that paper. Same thing with the body, and same thing with the mind, same thing with the heart. They have to be in the right environment. They have to be in the right place, as we say, at the right time. We have to create the perfect environment for them to grow. Because we live in an age where everything that we consume is pretty much made by machines with a lot of chemicals added to it, with a lot of E numbers added. If you read the ingredients of things, they're just not healthy. They're just poisonous. Most of the things that we consume today are in fact poisonous. So when we eat anything healthy, when we eat fruits and vegetables and all these things that the Ahlul Bayt spoke about, they wouldn't take effect because my body is like full of toxins, it's full of poison, full of unnatural preservatives. So in order for us to have that healthy mind and that healthy heart that the Ahlul Bayt talk about, the heart and the mind that brings me and you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to have a detox from all other products that we have been consuming throughout the year.
or at least throughout the day, in order for these things to work. We consume plenty of sugar, plenty of drinks that are carbohydrated, oils carbohydrated. Everything is just not healthy. So don't say, well, why isn't it working if you don't see any effect? Look at the reasons why these things are not taking effect. We will leave it here and we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams. Hear the children scream.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
From our imams, the ninth imam is the first, whose imamate began at a very young age, about 8 or 9.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Jafar, Muhammad ibn Ali, al-Barakat.
Peace be upon you, O Abu Jafar, Muhammad, the son of Ali, the righteous, the pious.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I'm your host Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam was the ninth divinely appointed imam among the household of the Holy Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. He was also the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, with his talents, his genius, and his great endless scientific ability, has proven the luminous reality adopted by the Shia that an imam must be the most aware and virtuous one of the people of his time. And it has also proven that the one who has more knowledge than anyone else must be the imam, regardless of whether he is young or old. Allah the Almighty has provided the infallible imams of the Ahlul Bayt, peace and blessings upon them all, with knowledge, wisdom, and sound judgment, similar to how Allah provided the prophets of the past with these same concepts and qualities. Truly, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam has shown this reality to all of the world.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's great to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, the ninth divinely appointed imam from the household of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, when we are talking about the beautiful dialogues and conversations of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, of course, we find that His Eminence spoke about the various issues that were happening at his time. Now, of course, an imam is the leader and the guide in the religious affairs, the cultural affairs, the economic affairs, and the socio-political affairs, you know, of the Muslims at that present age. And so they deal with the problems that are occurring at that present time. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that what they teach us is not applicable to other times, but it does show us that during that specific era, there were certain issues which were problems and were being addressed by the immaculate and infallible imams, peace and blessings upon them. So in this one conversation, of course, we find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, he talks to one of his companions, and he says to the companion, "The honor of a believer is in his unneediness to the people." Now, just to put it a little bit into context, we find that at that time, Imam al-Jawad was in a society where the difference between the rich and the poor was increasingly becoming greater and greater. So the people who were wealthy were incredibly wealthy, and then the masses were relatively hands to mouth. You know, they couldn't really make ends meet, and the amount of poverty was quite high in the Muslim society of that time. Now, of course, this is something that is still applicable to the present time. We do have situations where people are barely making their ends meet. Now, here Imam al-Jawad, he gives us this formula, he gives us this key, this remedy, if you will, saying that the honor of a believer is in his unneediness to people. Now, of course, we find that there are some individuals who it is their job to go and ask other people for help, whether it's financial or spiritual or moral or whatever it may be, but they have become accustomed to, they have become habituated. It is normal for them, and matter of fact, they need to go and ask other people for things. It seems like for some reason they are not independent, and they're always consistently asking people for money, even though they might have money, or they're constantly, you know, requesting something from other people, even though they have the means to. It has unfortunately become a habit and a negative attitude for such kind of an individual. And of course, this individual is
who acts in this manner is always humiliated and looked down upon. But then again, there are certain situations where it is absolutely necessary to go and ask for help. In these situations, it is not being said that, you know, don't go and ask for help when you absolutely need it. No, you must go and help your other